Well, good morning, everyone.
Good
morning. Now, I've got to be very brief this morning. I hear the nurses coming to jab some of you. I offered to jab you, though I use a 6-inch nail, which may be a little bit severe, so it was felt better that the nurse do it. So I've got to be quick and stop right on time, which will be something of a change for me. Luke chapter 18, please. The lovely parable, which is brief, but then it doesn't take the Lord many words to say an awful lot. Remember how the Bible starts? God said, let there be. And each day of the 6 days of creation, he just spoke those sort of words. The earth came into existence. Light came into existence. All that we see around us came into existence when the Lord just spoke those few words. And it is the case that the Lord can say an awful lot, unlike me, in just a few words. All right, quickly, we're looking at verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. We set out to look at the character or the identification of these two men. What is a publican? What is a Pharisee? And we have been looking at the Pharisee. There's a lot said in the New Testament about the Pharisee, so we've been taking time to consider just what sort of a person he is. We have looked at the name, considering how it is very likely the name comes from the fact that he and his group set themselves apart from everybody else. They think they're better than everybody else. And so they keep themselves apart. They don't mingle or mix with anybody else. Everybody else is below them. And the name, we believe, comes from an Old Testament name, Pharez, which means breach, separation. Then we have had a wee look at how they appeared, because they were distinct in their dress. They wore phylacteries. You may get a picture shown to you by your teacher, for I sent pictures of what a phylactery was. A little leather container in which they put a verse or two out of the Old Testament. And they used to bind that round their head. And it was sitting there, a little box that indicated, you know, that they considered themselves to honor and uphold the Word of God more than anybody else. More than anybody else. And then they had very long fringes on their garments. The fringe, according to what God said to Israel, was to distinguish them from all the other nations. They were to wear these fringes as a distinction. But the Pharisee, he wasn't content with just wearing a fringe. He had to have a very long fringe that indicated he was even more separated and more different than anybody else. So, you would have known one had you met one back in the days of the Lord Jesus. Now we're going a little further. I want us to see today something of the relationship that they had with the Lord Jesus. Because when he began his ministry, it wasn't long until they appeared. It wasn't long until they were on the scene. You know, you might not realize it, but when you go out there at break time, out into the playground, and you're munching on this and you're munching on that and you're enjoying your crisps and whatever else you enjoy, you scatter some around the ground. And there are those who know that you do that. And although they don't have a watch or a clock, crows appear in the playground after you come in. Did you know that? When you come in, there's a few crows come down. And they land out there and they walk around all over the place and they pick up all the stuff that you scattered behind you. Isn't it wonderful? Well, these old Pharisees like crows. As soon as the Savior began his ministry, they appeared. They appeared. And they appeared to pick holes, to criticize, to murmur, and to stir up the people against the Savior. We have a lot of verses today that we'd like to look at, and let's see how many we can get squeezed in. Turn to Matthew and the chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, right at the beginning of the Savior's ministry. If you look at verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them." So here is the Savior beginning his ministry, really. Right close to the beginning of his ministry. And he's beginning to teach his disciples. And in the verse 20, here's what he says. "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Well, I think we're right in saying here's the first mention of the Pharisees. And it's the Savior mentioning them. And what he has to say here is very important. What he has to say here tells us an awful lot about the Pharisees. Gives us the Savior's opinion of them right away. "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God." That tells us that no matter how righteous the Pharisees thought themselves to be, remember what I said, they considered themselves much better than anybody else. They separated themselves from everybody else because they thought themselves better. But the Savior says, except your righteousness exceeds their righteousness, you're not going to get into heaven. Which means, boys and girls, the Pharisees were not going to heaven. The Pharisees were not going to heaven. Despite what they thought about themselves, God had a very different opinion of them. They thought themselves superior to everybody else. And if there was anyone certain of heaven, they believed they were. But they weren't. They were not going to heaven. Do you know there's many living today? And they're absolutely certain they're going to heaven. And the reason they are certain they're going to heaven is because they think they're going to heaven. They have a very high opinion of themselves. They say, "Well, I'm better than him, and I'm better than her, and well, I'm just better than everybody else around. Sure, I'm bound to go to heaven. I do this, I do that, I do the other thing. I'm very religious. Of course I'm going to heaven." But they're not. There's none today, I would say, who in the religious world are nearly as diligent as the Pharisees were regarding keeping religious laws and rules and activities. Whatever else may be said about them, they took their religion seriously and they went through all the rules that they themselves had made up. But they never considered what God had to say about the matter of how you get to heaven. They just thought, "I'll make my own way to heaven." But they weren't going to heaven. Now today you don't dress like a Pharisee. Nobody would look at you and say, "Oh, there's a Pharisee." But you could think like a Pharisee. You could say just as they say, "I'm good enough. I'll get into heaven. I don't need to be saved. I don't need a Savior. I'm good enough. I'm not bad. I'm good." That's the way the Pharisees thought. And the Lord Jesus says, except your righteousness exceeds, is greater than that of the Pharisees, you're not getting into heaven. To get into heaven, you need perfect righteousness. To get into heaven, you need to be clothed in a spotless, perfect garment. And there's only one who can provide such a garment. That's the Lord Jesus. On the cross, he was working out our salvation. On the cross, he first and foremost took our sins upon himself and was punished for us so that for his people, for his elect, as the Bible called them, there was no more punishment. We sing a hymn, "Jesus had it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. And as the gospel is preached, and the story of the Saviour's death, his atonement on the cross is proclaimed, men and women and boys and girls are invited to come to Christ and be washed in his blood and clothed in his righteousness. And only those who do that have a righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees and will therefore get into heaven. Tell me, are you wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness today? Or are you still wearing the old garments of your own righteousness? Oh, I'm good enough. I'll get into heaven. God will accept me. That's what the Pharisees said, and they weren't going to get into heaven. And not one of them that we read about in the Bible, with very, very, very few exceptions, and we'll come to that, got into heaven. And those, I might say, that did get into heaven, they abandoned their thinking, and they came to Christ, and they said, Lord, save me. Wash me in your blood. Clothe me in your righteousness. I throw away the old garments that I used to trust in, thinking that my works would get me to heaven. I throw them all away, for I see now that they won't. Lord, I'm trusting in you. There's only a very small number that we read about who did that. The rest of the Pharisees went to hell. That's a solemn thought. And that's where all who think like them go. So here's one of the early mentions of them, going to hell because of what they believe. Now from the beginning, they showed that they were opposed to the Lord Jesus, and they were most vehement. I mean, they just didn't mutter. They were most determined in their opposition to the Lord Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, in the verse 33, a miracle has just taken place. A dumb man, possessed with a devil, has been delivered. And we read verse 33, and when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes, the crowds that were there and saw it, marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. You see, boys and girls, there never was a prophet like the Lord Jesus. Oh, there were prophets like him in that they preached the word of God and upheld the law of God and lived holy lives. Yes, yes, yes. But they never were as great as the Savior. What he did, his works, far exceeded the works of any other prophet. That's what the people are saying. There never was anyone who wrought miracles like this Jesus of Nazareth. That's what the people were saying. But look at the next verse. But, little word that always introduces a contradiction, an opinion of a different sort. But, the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. I don't think you could say anything more wicked, anything more sinful than that. They were saying that the Lord Jesus was in league with the devil. That the power he exercised in delivering men and women and young people from the devil came from the devil, came from the devil. And that's an awful sin. Savior goes on in another place to warn them. When you sin against the Holy Spirit, there's no repentance for that sin. There's no recovery for that sin. Do you know why that is? Well, how do we put it? In order for you to get saved, you need to repent and you need to believe the gospel. But you can't do that without the help, without the aid, without the power of the Spirit of God. You can't. Of yourself, you can't believe and receive the gospel. Of yourself, you need the Holy Spirit to begin to work in your heart. to bring about repentance. Like the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came down in Jerusalem, it says the people were cut to their heart. That was the Holy Spirit working, bringing home to them their sinfulness and how much they needed Christ. That was the Holy Spirit working. Now, if you offend the Holy Spirit and drive him from you, who's going to give you repentance? Who is going to give you faith? There's none. That's why it's such a dreadful sin to sin against the Holy Ghost. There's no hope for you when you do that. I remember a story, and with this we'll close. I wasn't too long saved. I was in a meeting. I had driven Dr. Paisley to the meeting, and I was listening to him preach. It was a gospel mission. And he told the story of a man who came to him one night after the meeting, and he said, "I want to get saved." And Dr. Paisley said, "Right, that's wonderful. Listen, here's what the Bible says." And he went through the scripture verses and showed him how he was a sinner and needed salvation. And in Christ there was that salvation. And the man said, "I can't see it. I can't see it." So Dr. Paisley said, "Well, let me show you some more verses." And he went through more verses, and he showed him how he could be saved. And the man said, "I can't see it." And Dr. Paisley said he spent a long time with that man. And the man said, "You know, I have been in the meetings of W.P. Nicholson, who was a great revival preacher nearly 100 years ago now in Ulster. And the man had attended meetings at which this great preacher had preached. And he said, I stayed behind and I talked to him. And he couldn't do anything for me. Oh, help me to get saved," he said. Dr. Paisley talked more and more. And he said, "Did you never see the way of salvation?" And the man said, "Yes, when I was young, I remember God striving with me, and I was greatly troubled, and I was out working in the field. I was so troubled in my heart about salvation, but I didn't want to get saved, and I just said, 'Oh God, leave me alone.' From that day, I have never been able to see how to get saved." He sinned against the Holy Ghost. The Pharisees were sinning against the Holy Ghost when they said, "This man's carrying on this great work of miracles by the power of the devil." That's insulting the Holy Ghost. Listen, boys and girls, don't sin against the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't turn your back upon the strivings of the Holy Spirit when he's telling you to be saved. Don't do that. You place yourself in great danger, because he could leave you and you're lost. Let's bow in prayer. Write your word on hearts. Lord, we pray and grant that boys and girls will realize that it is a solemn matter to sin against the Lord. They place themselves in great danger. O God, rather give to them the grace to hasten to you for salvation. Save the boys and girls in our school. Bless the school today and undertake for it in all matters. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.